Stephen Mayne, and if you read his pamphlet that he'll be handing out to the people of Higgins, he is the main man. He's been on this show before. We don't give every candidate a bit of a 10-minute run at it, but Stephen Mayne, you've been coming on for so many years, you can have whatever you want.
We can't keep you out.
Far away. Where are you?
Where am I? Well, I'm a bit croaky and...
You're already gone.
Wow, what happened? How loud were you at that meeting?
Oh, well, I mean, I should tell your listeners that yesterday Rupert Murdoch was in Adelaide, so popped over there for encounter number 10 with Rupert at a shareholders meeting. And, I only got up once, actually, because I had a good go with Rupert a month ago in New York, and I sort of felt, if you can't really double dip, you can't sort of just keep going back to the trough to hop into Rupert. So I only got up just the once yesterday, and I thought I was going to lose my voice. But I got my apology for the Glenn Milne assault at the Walkleys last year. Push off the stage anyway. So, that was quite exciting. And I'm also having a bit of fun with the whole Glenn Milne thing in Higgins, putting a picture of Mr. Milne on the front page of my flyer and saying he's Peter Costello's number one media backer. Peter Costello failed to condemn this drunken behaviour at the Walkleys live on national television, so vote for me to send a message to Glenn Milne, which is rather disingenuous, I admit. But
should Peter Costello really be identifying someone in the media as his main backer? He probably shouldn't, really. He just would be accepting the glorious status of that.
Yeah, well, Milne is widely known to be the Costello sort of spokesman almost, in that, Milne was the one who broke the story about the written agreement where Howard had said he'd hand over after 1.5 terms. So, yeah, like, he's well known to be. I mean, the whole thing about Milne's attack on me at the Walkleys was that Costello had said to him, I didn't get the prime ministership, but at least you'll win a Walkley for your scoop about our... the leadership deal with Howe that was broken. And Costello actually said that to him. And then just before Milne attacked me, he missed out. So he'd missed out on the Walkley that Costello had told him he had given him and he would win. And then in a drunken fury, he'd assaulted me.
I was going to say, I'm glad you didn't leave out the mountain of piss that he consumed before he stormed the stage.
But Costello, Rupert's great line yesterday was... he hasn't had a drop since. And he was almost proud. I sort of started saying, I want you to take action. Why wasn't he sacked?
Yesterday you actually showed up with your receipt for physiotherapy?
Yeah, I did. I was standing because I was only about 5 metres from Rupert because the microphone's near the front. So I got up there and if I really had my courage up, I would have actually gone up to Rupert and presented it with him. I would have stormed the stage a la Glenn Milne. But I actually said... Now, Rupert, I'm not going to storm the stage, but I am going to politely ask that you cover my $65 medical bill. And he sort of, his first response was, oh, I think I'm, what are you going to do about it? Oh, I think I might buy Glenn a drink tonight, he said, as if to say, good on you, son. And then he just said, oh, no, look, we're sorry about that. And that's it. So he didn't agree to pay the
physio. I would have thought it would have been great if he just peeled off some notes and just fixed you up.
Because he's got a bit of cash.
Well, I mean, he leaves the sort of the moral high ground, a bit absent, doesn't he? It's just so easy. I mean, I first asked him to do it. I said, look, all I ask, I'm not going to press charges, which everyone said you could do. I'm not going to press charges, just pay for my physio bill. And I wrote to News Limited and said that. And they leaked it to their gossip columnists that they wouldn't be doing it. So they were quite belligerent. So yesterday it was, your local managers have been really belligerent, Rupert. They've been really unprofessional in the way they've handled this. And I'm now coming to the boss, to the guru, to ask you to do the right thing.
Yeah.
And at least he said sorry.
Yep. Last time we spoke to you were off to New York, or you'd just come back about the more serious issue of whether Rupert should have proper democracy in his share voting structure. How's that turned out? Has he changed your way?
Look, he hasn't, but it came up again yesterday because it was a pretty big event that I put up a resolution that we go to a one class of stock company, which at the moment Rupert owns... only 13% of the shares, but he's got 40% of the votes because 70% of News Corporation shares don't have a vote. So I always say, you're running a gerrymander that would make Sir Joe Bjelke-Petersen blush. And I put up this resolution in New York, and it was backed by $5 billion worth of stock, even though the board and Rupert strongly recommended that shareholders vote against it. And this was 60% of the independents. So if you took out Rupert's shares and you took out John Malone, this other billionaire who backed Rupert, it was 60% of the independents. And so I said yesterday to Rupert, have you heeded the message that your shareholders don't want you running this rort, this rorted system? Stand on your record, mate. You're a legend. You are a genius. No one's going to sack you. Don't be paranoid. Don't be a control freak. Just run one vote, one value. We're spreading democracy to Iraq. You advocated that. Let's have some democracy at News Corp. And, of course, he just says, the company's been far better off from me having total control, and I've been able to take all these risks that no one else would let me take if it was a conventional thing. So, you know, management stability is what we've given us. And I say, look, you've had stability and you've been CEO for 55 years. You're the longest-serving CEO in the world.
Yeah.
You've got a great record. Stand on your record, mate. Don't hide behind these these artificial barriers.
Mm.
Let's get on to Higgins,
please.
Stephen. You're running as an independent.
I am.
On what platform?
Oh, look, primarily I'm just belting into the banks. That's my biggest issue. Is that we
you
have
don't
the
like
world's
the cartel, do
well, we have the world's most expensive banking system, and the financial services companies are 42% of our stock market, and the average around the world is 28%. So. They're making $20 billion a year, our banks. There's no exports. They just rip off Australian consumers. And it is the world's most expensive system. We all cop these ridiculous fees. I tried to close my merchant facility when I sold Crikey, and they said it was $500 to close it down, you know. I've had three $35 penalty fees in the last 3 months. And Peter Costello's the man. He's got all the power under the Banking Act. He's got APRA, he's got the ACCC, he's got the Reserve Bank. He could step in and say, this is not on. And I've been banging on about this for years. Nothing ever happened. So I've said, all right, I'm going to present this directly to the voters of Higgins. So I'm sending out a flyer to 24,000 houses next week. And it specifically talks about the bank cartel and Costello taking him on. And if I get 4% or 5%, that sends a big message that it's time to take on the banks and stop all these rip-offs.
And that's taking on Costello. You've also got a part of your pamphlet that's dedicated to taking on Labor. What's the disappointments with the Labor campaign?
Well, I think, you know, Labor still supports soil growth logging in Tasmania, which I think is a bit disappointing. And there's also things like the fact that the Labor Party runs poker machines. The actual party has 400 machines in Canberra and makes about $1 million a year out of it. And I'm working a bit with Nick Xenophon on this, the anti-pokies independent in South Australia, where we're saying that Costello can take ATMs out of poker machine venues because he controls the Banking Act. So he can do it straight away. And if you do that, problem gambling, you know, falls significantly because you don't have access after you've lost your first 400. You can't go back and just keep getting more. And the Labor Party is up to their eyeballs in gambling, and as I said, they actually run their own poker machine venues in Canberra. The only political party in the world that actually is a gambling, actually runs gambling for profit. And it's things like that where I think Labor's a bit disappointing. So I'm just going out there as an independent. And the other thing, the last thing is the free speech question. Costello bans me personally, and he bans Crikey from the budget lockup, has done for the last 3 years, just as a sheer act of churlishness because we christened him Captain Smirk. He doesn't like the nickname. And I simply say, you know, this is outrageous that you can have major media mergers, you know, on the grounds that with the internet everyone can access anything. And then when it comes to the major political set piece of the year, the budget lockup, you explicitly ban the biggest independent internet player in the country as an act of churlishness. So my line to him is simply, you can lock me out of the lockup, but you can't lock me out of Higgins. And this is an important principle, and I'll run next time as well, just to annoy you, if you maintain this ridiculous ban.
Yeah.
So. Now, traditionally, you do stay on for the news. Do you have time today?
Oh, look, I'd love to. I've got nowhere else to go. So,
I would love to have you stick around, Stephen Mayne.